hope you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Lance and Cruz, it is good to see y'all this morning. Well, we're so excited to just to start this season off. This is one of my favorite times of year. And I know that, you know, for some of us, this is a joyous time of year. For some of us, it's tough, depending on if you've had our experiences, if you've had loss this time of year. But I would encourage you to do this. Let's lean into the presence of the Lord, the words of the Lord that He has promised us today. And so as we begin, oh, by the way, we do have Kristen and Lori with us today, so we are thrilled to have them. This morning is kind of an unusual morning in several ways, but we'll share that later on in the service. But just pray for those who are sick and who are recovering today. But can you stand with us as we begin? We want to start our time out in Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9. You know, this time of Advent, the word Advent literally means this. It means coming. It is the time of year that we anticipate just the coming of Jesus, not just when He came for the first time, but also the second coming. And so, let's put ourselves in the position of someone in Israel who's hearing these words from Isaiah the prophet as they're longing for this Savior to appear, as they're longing for the presence of the Lord, for the Lord to show up and to save them, to show Himself to them. Verse 1 says this, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for Him. You meet Him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities." Verse 8 says this, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." Can we say verse 9 out loud together as is on the screen? "Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people." Lord, we are your people today. Lord, we seek you out. We are the work of your hands. Lord, we look to you in this season, Lord, knowing that you have, Lord, words, Lord, to speak over your people, that you have change that you want to accomplish in us. So our prayer this morning as we start, come thou long expected Jesus, born to set your people free. From our sins and fears release us. Let us find our rest. So can we sing this morning, church?
Let us fly. strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart.
Joy to the
and the Lord will keep
bless the Lord.
Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never ending praise. Let our incense rise. Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never ending praise. Let our incense rise. Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never ending praise. Let our incense rise. Let us bless the Lord every day and night. Never ending praise. May our incense rise. Magnify the Lord with me. Come exalt.
Come exalt his name together, glorify the Lord with me. Come exalt his name forever. Come exalt his name forever.
Church, during the Advent season, the Universal Church has this tradition that we follow every year too, and it's using candles. And obviously there's nothing special about candles, right? There's nothing sanctifying, but what is beneficial is what they signify to us. And during the first week of Advent, the first candle, as Daisy lights it, symbolizes hope, the hope that not just that we have presently, but the hope that we have as we look forward, not just in joy, but also, you know, hope, there's multiple facets to that, right? It's not just always a joy, but sometimes it is an anguish, it is a longing. Just because we hope in things doesn't mean that things are always right in the present, right? So it's this weird combination that we experience here on earth as we look to Christ. As we look to our present circumstance and we ask the Lord, Lord, make something good out of this. Do your work when I don't see where you're working or where you're moving. But Lord, I trust you that one day all these things shall be made right, and that you are on your throne and that you are moving. Psalm chapter 80. This is a prayer of the psalmist. It says, "Restore us, O God," is what it's called. Let me pray this over us today as we continue. It says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You made us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved." Later on in verse 17, it says this, "But let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, the son of man whom you have made strong for yourself. Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved." Lord, we do ask that this morning, Lord, that you would restore this fallen world. Thank you that in verse 17 where it says, "Let your hand be on the man of your right hand," speaking of Jesus, the promised Messiah who would come for his people. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given us life and life more abundant. Lord, in the things that we can experience now and the things that we will one day experience in glory. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our living hope, our resurrection, our hope for now and eternity. So, Jesus, we sing this to you. We thank you for the hope that we have. Pray that you would be ever present among your people.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame.
The cross has spoken.
The cross has spoken. I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me. Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
to breathe out of the silence. The roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Sing that again.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe out of the silence. The roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
Oh, Jesus, yours is a victory.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Sing that chorus one more time.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all
So we're going to teach you a new song today, and this song was written actually this summer. Zach sent us a message and said, I'm preparing my messages for Advent, which is awesome that he does that 6 months in advance, but he said, I have these passages, and I really want to get these words in the hearts of our people. Do you think you could write some songs for that? And at first, I think he wanted four songs, one for every passage, but I sat down, I said, okay. And so I looked through John 1 and Colossians 1 and Philippians 2 and Hebrews 1. Those are the various passages that he'll be covering each week. And just saw this beautiful theme of all of those things happen to the glory of God the Father. I said, that needs to be the hook. That needs to be the song. All of these things happened in the beginning, and then all through Jesus putting on flesh, and through him withholding the universe by the word of his power, all of that is to the glory of God the Father and the praise of his Son Jesus. And so we put this song together, and I pray that as you read the words and as you hear it, that you can join in singing, but more importantly, that these words make their way deep down into your heart and that you recognize the rich biblical text that we used.
Thank you.
with God and of God, the radiant sun, all things created in heaven and earth. Fulfilling the prophets, the Word became flesh, God's very image in glory expressed. In Him God's fullness was pleased to dwell upon His power.
Church, y'all can have a seat as we continue today. So as we are still 2020-ing it up right now, we got a we knew that Zach and Emily and the kids, they were going to Broken Bow, Oklahoma after church last Sunday, and Emily's mom, Miss Cindy, went with them and started getting symptoms on Wednesday, and so out of precaution, Zach and his family opted to stay home today. And so we have a few different things going on. First of all, I'm going to read a letter that Zach emailed me that he wanted to, he really wanted to be here today. We basically had to tell him he had to stay home. But James is going to bring the word this morning. And so let me read what Zach just emailed me. He said this. Dear TGP family, happy first Sunday of Advent. The Mullis family is missing our people this morning, but we're watching live right now, so we're grateful for technology. This is such a special time in the life of the church as we have our hearts trained together to wait patiently and yet eagerly for our coming King. At Advent, the church uniquely reflects upon the incarnation, the becoming flesh of Christ, the Son of God. Our God longs to be near His people. That's such good news. He has made us embodied beings, and He sent Christ Jesus to take up humanity, becoming an embodied being, two natures in one person, so that we could be fit to be in His presence for endless ages to come. Since physical presence obviously matters to God, it should matter to us as well. For that reason, it felt less than ideal when we were exposed to COVID earlier in the week to preach via a screen while everyone else is gathered together in person. James Morgan and I have collaborated on this sermon. He has agreed to stand in our pulpit and deliver it. I'm grateful for his willingness to jump in on Friday to preach, and I pray it makes considering the incarnation all the more wonderful as you hear a sermon in person. It is our hope that we will be able to gather with you next Sunday as we continue to consider this great mystery, which is so inextricably bound up with our precious and very great salvation. We love you dearly and pray that God's Spirit will move upon your hearts as you hear His word preached. Love, Zach, Emily, Eliza, Annie Jane, John, and Felicity.
Okay, check. Okay, we're good. I don't know if I would call it collaborated with Zach, but that was kind of him to say. He spent the majority of the time preparing and praying over this sermon, and I am here to deliver it, like he just said. As we begin our new Advent series called The Incomparable Christ, may we be reminded of why Jesus came into the world. Only the incomparable Christ was suited to the glorious and gruesome task. Only God could repair what a sinful humanity had broken. Who is this Christ? And what does the Bible say about Him? What is God's solution to the problem of darkness, sin, and death? Stand with me and let's read John 1, verses 1 through 14. John 1, verses 1 through 14. And this is such an important text for us today. All right, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. God, thank you for such a strong, clear word that you have given us about your Son. And God, we just thank you for this morning where we are able to gather physically today. And we ask that you will speak to us this morning, teach us this morning, show us things that you want us to take away from this text. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Y'all can have a seat. Okay, so this sermon has five main points, for those of you taking notes. I feel like Zach has such an eloquent way of just working the points into his natural speech, but I'm just going to tell you what they are. So the first one is called the Eternal Divine Word. The Eternal Divine Word. And this is verses 1 through 3 that we're going to look at for this one. How did God make the world? How did he make the world? He spoke powerful words. And isn't it interesting that John calls Jesus the Word and explains how essential he was to the creation of all things? What does it mean that he was the Word? A.W. Pink says this: he displayed his power, he manifested his wisdom, he exhibited his holiness, he made known his grace, he unveiled his heart. In Christ and nowhere else is God fully and finally told out. And this is part of what it means that Christ is the Word. John opens his book in the beginning the same way as another book in the Bible, and that is Genesis. So remember, Genesis, in the beginning God created, and this is in the beginning was the Word. Those words imply that God was there before the beginning. God has always existed. There was never a time when God was not. And now with these verses, John puts Jesus there with God before the beginning. But it's not simply that he was with God. John proclaims that he was God, and that's so important. This Word is both eternally fellowshipping with God and is himself divine, sharing in the essential nature of God. If you look at verse 3 supports this conclusion because John reveals that his Word was the necessary creative agent of Genesis 1. And nothing was made without him. Therefore, he could not be created. Whatever and whomever was made was created through him. He is uncreated and is himself the creator of all that was made. And this is amazing. John begins his gospel with astounding claims about Jesus. He doesn't wait for you to figure it out. If we look at John 20, at the very end of John 20, we're just going to be there really quickly. I'm going to read two verses. In verses 30 and 31, John 20, verses 30 and 31, it says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." He's trying to make a clear message here and not leave any doubt for us. This text helps us understand why he begins this way. From the start, he wants you to understand why believing in him imparts life in his name, and this is the unique, eternal, and divine Son of God. The second point is titled, "The Giver of Life." The Giver of Life. And this comes from verse 4, the first part of verse 4 anyway, which says, "In him was life." This is true in two senses. One, as creator, and two, as savior. One as creator, and two as savior. Life originates with this divine, eternal Word. As creator, nothing lives without his creative work, and as savior, no one has true life, which we know is spiritual life, apart from him. In him was life, and in him is life. In John 14, 6, you don't have to turn there, but it says Jesus is the life, the exclusive means of eternal life. There is no other. Santa can't give life. I know we think he's, people think he's a cool guy around Christmas, but he can't give life. Your husband or wife can't give you life. Life is not found in having perfectly obedient children. Some of you might have perfectly obedient children, but it does not give you life. Life isn't found in a job or any other created thing. Only the giver of life can give life. Number three, we see the true light, which is in the second part of verse 4 and goes through verse 9. Verse 4 transitions to a discussion about light. The life was the light of men. And what does that mean? Life is in him and therefore comes from him. In John 8:12, Jesus says that he is the light of the world and that whoever follows him will have the light of life. So even there, Jesus relates these two. He relates life and light. And this is really important. The light that Jesus gives is the life he brings to men. He has shone into our dark, sin-stricken existence and restored the possibility of eternal life, forever favorable fellowship with our Father. Because he imparts this life, he has lit up the dark with hope and joy for us. And in verse 5 of chapter 1, it says that the darkness has not overcome it. And just as darkness flees when a light switch is flipped, so this true light is so powerful that darkness cannot be victorious over it. And he is that light. And John says in verses 6 and 7 that John the Baptist was a witness about the light, sent so that people would believe in the true light through his testimony. And he calls Jesus the true light in verse 9. This true light gives light to everyone. And this seems to work in much the same way as Titus 2:11. And I'm going to read that, Titus 2:11. And we studied this not too long ago, but Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. And as Jesus brought salvation, so he has given light to everyone. He has made possible restored fellowship with God for all men. But this also relates to God's moral purity and perfection. And we see in 1 John 1:5, it says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." To have fellowship with God is to walk in the light through righteousness and confession of sin, instead of walking in darkness and unrighteousness and the covering of sin. Number 4 is the only Son, and that's verse 14, the only Son. For just a moment, let's jump to verse 14. John is bearing witness to the glory of this Jesus, this eternal Word made flesh. He has seen the glory of Jesus, and the other apostles are eyewitnesses of these things. He is the only Son of the Father. Even though we can become children of God, we aren't God's children in the same way that Jesus is God's Son. He is incomparable. There's none like him in heaven or on earth. God says it is this way at the baptism and the transfiguration. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Only this unique Son has that sort of glory. We don't have that. Which is exactly what makes him a perfect Savior. He's full of both grace and truth. In Christ, neither truth nor grace exist at the expense of the other, but both come to full and beautiful expression. And number five, incarnate. Incarnate is number five. And for that one, we look at verses 9 through 14. Verse 9 says, the true light was coming into the world. Verse 14 says that he who was with God dwelt among us. God walked with humanity in Eden. He pitched his literal tent among Israel in the wilderness. He calls his manifest glory and presence to dwell in the temple. And then here, D.A. Carson says, he chose to dwell in a yet more personal way in the Word become flesh. He came to earth to dwell among them so that he might dwell in them by his Spirit. And all of this is building toward his presence throughout eternity in perfect, joyful fellowship. D.A. Carson says that from verse 14, the incarnation, the infleshing of the Word is articulated in the boldest way. If the evangelist had said only that the eternal Word assumed manhood or adopted the form of a body, the reader might have missed the point. But John is unambiguous, almost shocking in the expression he uses. The Word became flesh. Verse 10 contains three statements that express the mystery of the incarnation as profoundly as anything in the Bible. He, this Word, giver of life, light, the Son, was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And just look at the humility and the glory, the humble glory, the glorious humility of our Savior there. The one who made the world entered into it to be rejected. But why? Well, we can see in verse 11 through 13 the reason. He came to give the right to become children of God. This is not a right we have by nature at birth. It's given to us by new birth, which depends totally on God's will, not on our efforts or our striving, as we see in verse 13. And just as flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, so it is impossible for flesh and blood to bring about this new birth. He became what he was not in order to make us what we were not. This divine, eternal Word became flesh to be rejected, mocked, and killed, so that those who were by nature children of wrath might become children of God. And we see a beautiful picture of that in Ephesians 2. I actually think the time that I preached before, I read from Ephesians 2. And if you look at Ephesians 2, you don't have to, but you can listen to it. Zach just wrote Ephesians 2, 3 in his sermon, but I just couldn't leave it at 3. I had to read the rest of it. I can't read Ephesians 2 without getting to the good part there at the end. So I'm going to read about how we were children of wrath and God saved us. 2:3 says, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The Word became flesh. God took up humanity. Eternity invaded time. Omnipresence fit into a manger. Omnipotence became an infant. All sufficiency assumed dependence. Why? For us men and for our salvation, says the Nicene Creed. The mystery of the incarnation is bound up together in the same bundle as the mystery of God's will to save fallen humanity. This Christmas, don't let the Maker in the manger get far from your thoughts. Don't miss the wonder of Christmas, which is the mystery of the incarnation. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this. Again, thank you for this great word that you've given us. Thank you for this Christmas season. God, we just ask that you'll stir our minds and our hearts throughout the week and throughout the month. Constantly remind us what this is about. Constantly remind us of what you did for us, what you are still doing for us. Let us be grateful in this time, and let us truly celebrate what is important about Christmas. And God, we thank you so much for that salvation. We thank you so much again for a Sunday where we can gather and celebrate that, and just help us carry that throughout the rest of this month and then beyond. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. James, did Zach say anything in regard to communion this morning? All right. Well, I guess I'm doing that. Well, for those of you that are a part of us every week, you know that that this is something that we make it a custom and a week in and week out habit of our church to go and take communion together, to remember and to represent, to reenact just what Christ has done on our behalf. And so this morning, as we partake together, I would encourage you to do this, to dwell upon the words of John 1 that we just heard. Let me bring this back up real quick on my phone. I want to reread a portion of that as it relates to communion. The Word became flesh. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Going on to verse 16, which we didn't read this morning, but it says, For from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. From His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So let's receive that, this free gift that Jesus has given to us today. Let us remember what is to come, that this is not all that life is, but that one day, just as it says that we have seen His glory, that we shall see His glory in fullness one day. And so we're going to sing, and then as we sing, I would encourage you to come and partake of the elements. If you do not know Christ today, we always want to say this, and we always will say this: do not come forward and partake of these elements. Rather, take Jesus instead. If you do not know Christ today, please come talk to me or to Josh or a trusted person in this congregation. We would love just to introduce you to this Jesus that we know and love. And so let me pray, and then I would ask that you come forward and let's partake together. Jesus, thank you that you have allowed us to see your glory. Thank you that you are full of grace and truth, and that out of the fullness of your grace this morning, that you have showered, that you have poured down upon us grace upon grace. What an unfathomable thought, an unfathomable reality that we as the people of God get to partake. I pray this morning and in this Advent season, Lord, that you would show us the hope that we have in you, Jesus. Lord, that we would not wander around like the world without hope, but that it would shine forth out of our spirits, out of our countenance, what you have done for us and what you are doing daily, day in and day out. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice for us. In Jesus' name.
Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
Conquered the grave. His name is rooted in the land.
of all blessing and honor and glory. Is he worthy of this? He is.
Church, as we continue, let me read the words of institution for us today as we partake together. Sorry, guys, it's taking a second. Here it is. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. And he continues to say, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
I think it's really timely that we're starting Advent this week, and this week also starts the Lottie Moon week of prayer. And so I know we kind of do things a bit differently here, and so we don't always say, okay, we're going to just give to Lottie Moon or just give to this or just give to that. But this week I did want to go ahead and give you the opportunity to pray through the different IMB missionaries that Lottie Moon's focusing on this year. And so I have these little flyers on the back table and then some out this door as well. And so just throughout the week, really pray about like what the Lord would have you give to further his mission. And that looks so different right now just with COVID and travel difficulties. I was looking at a map the other day of where you could and could not travel if you live in the United States right now. And it makes you feel a little claustrophobic because so many countries still have their borders closed. Which means that missionaries who are already there have had to deal with a lot of obstacles and challenges, keeping visas maintained and things like that. So just continue to pray for that. And then, of course, we are praying for the Manika in Eastern Guinea this month. So continue praying for this people group today specifically. We're just praying that the Lord would give believers favor as they approach the elders in these communities, because that's going to be the gateway to them being able to show the Jesus film or have a Bible camp or have some type of sermon preached or even just be able to give out Bibles as they become available. So we're just praying that they would have, the missionaries who are going in would have favor in the eyes of the elders in these villages. And so I guess I did want, I know we're kind of like double tasking today, but in a couple minutes, I want us to just take a few minutes like we usually do and pray over the Manika people. But also for day one of Lottie Moon, we're focusing on a children's shelter in Kenya. And so whenever you go home after today, I would ask that you would go through, read it with your family. I will not read it right now because it's super long. But I'm going to post the video that goes along with it on Facebook. You can kind of look at it there. You can go to the Lottie Moon website and get a lot of resources that will sort of just take you through this week of prayer. So I would just ask you that you kind of join us with that. If you're not here today with us in person, you can go to the website and see every single person that we're praying through every day. You can sign up to get emails, and that'll kind of notify you of what we're doing.
So just take a couple minutes, focus on praying for the Manika people, and just as we're praying for the IMB, that they, these missionaries would just be able to continue to overcome the different obstacles that are challenges right now. So just take a couple minutes. Father, we love you, and we know that you hear our prayers. Father, we pray that you would move in the lives of the elders, and in the hearts of the elders of the Manika people, Lord, in their villages. I pray that as you bring believers to proclaim the gospel, that their leadership in these villages would be open to hearing that, that they would be willing to take a chance, that there might be something more that they haven't heard. And Lord, we know that that's you and your name. And I pray that you would equip the missionaries, whether they are with the IMB or another agency or going, Lord, just from their churches, Father, that you would give them the energy and the mobility, Lord, to reach these hard-to-reach places. Father, especially right now, I pray for missionaries who are already overseas, that you would give them what they need to continue to stay plugged in where they're at, that as people are moving and trying to cross borders, Lord, you would make that seamless, Lord, that you would just equip people who are training, who have been wanting to go overseas, Lord, if they're having to be still, Lord, and have patience right now, Father, that you would give them that patience, knowing that they will be able to reach who you have for them to reach in your timing. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to move in our hearts here, that we would proclaim your name, Lord, in Wardville, in Pineville, in Alexandria, that you would help us to see how we can take a part of your mission from where we're at right now. Lord, we know that's your heart. We know that's what you desire. And I just praise you for what you're doing in our church, for what you're doing in Sportsville, for what you're doing in our city and around the world. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. And then can I, like, say one more thing? On the Sportsville bandwagon, we've been really encouraged, and we've had a bunch of new kids from around the neighborhood coming and getting involved. And it's been really encouraging, but it's also been a little bit overwhelming because we went from having no Sportsville to really slowly pulling things back together and then doing meals where we were just passing out meals to families every Wednesday night. And now it's like, okay, we're actually trying to work with the kids again. And it's been a little bit wild because there's like three of us, not really, but like basically. And so like right now we went from having an older guy's class, an older girl's class, and a younger kid's class. And like I can't do anything specifically with our older girls right now because we don't have the people. And so I really would just ask that you pray through like how the Lord would want you to be a part of that ministry. Because it is like, it's our mission field. Like it's our neighborhood. Like you just step out the door and we have families in need. And there are some really, really cool kids who just need to hear about Jesus. And I mean, real life story, 2 weeks ago when we met, we had so many more kids than we were expecting. We had our regular kids who had been coming, and then we had this group of middle school boys who had come in with one of the Strong Neighborhood Project guys who's been helping us out a whole lot. And it was like five or six middle school boys, and you know middle school boys, it's chaos sometimes. And they were not engaged in the same way that some of our younger little kids were. And so we had a really difficult time because, you know, we have Mr. Dean out there trying to pass out meals to families who are still coming from all over this area. And then we have, you know, a couple of us in here trying to crowd control little kids. And then I have, you know, my couple of older girls who are sitting in here with the little kids, but not really getting a whole lot out of it because they're too old. but I can't do anything specifically for them because we just don't have the people. and so kind of as that's like beginning again and like building up again, we just like need you guys. So just like pray about how you might be able to be involved, because it's just, it's important. I think it's one of the primary ministries that like our church specifically right now has for this neighborhood. Whether that's passing out meals or helping Aaron run upstairs and put together a emergency supply kit for the homeless lady who walked down the street and said, "Hey, I'm in need. I need a box of food." You know, like there are so many needs, and it's not just about giving people free stuff. Like if that's your concern, like come have a conversation with me, because I can definitely, you know, I've been through that mentally, and like I understand that there's a hurdle there with just not wanting to just give away free stuff all the time. And that's not what this program is about at all. It's about being there for the community and letting them know that we're here to meet basic needs when those needs cannot be met. So I'll jump off the soapbox, but I just ask that you'd be praying about how you can be involved. So that's all I got.
Okay, some other announcements. TBD on life group for this week, but it is for the ladies from 6 to 8. And then we will have two family meetings in December, so those are right after church. December 6th, we're going to do a budget presentation, and then December 20th after church, we will vote as a family to approve that budget. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering, did you touch on that any? Okay, I'm just going to recap in case you don't remember all of it. But Gina does have the prayer week card set up in the back, and the envelopes are there as well. And then next Sunday, we're going to have an international coffee station set up, and that's going to be before church. And so that's the day that you can give specifically to the Lottie Moon or other missionaries that are within our network. Lord willing, we are planning to do some Christmas caroling in Pecan Ridge and a church potluck outdoors afterwards. We don't have all the details set up really for that yet, but Catherine Christian is going to be organizing that. And then Gina already talked about the volunteers needed for Sportsville, but we also need volunteers for children's Sunday school and preschool classes. I did not plan on sharing this because I don't really like to share painful things with other people, and I normally consider myself an open book, but I feel like I've held it together pretty well all morning, but that last song really got me. But I was just thinking about the fact that we're singing, "Is He Worthy?" And normally it's really easy to sing that song and say yes. But this month we had a miscarriage and my heart is broken. And I just found myself so grateful that I was able to sing that song with conviction and say, "Yes, He is worthy." Because it was a lot easier when everything was good. And right now it's not, but He is still worthy. And I guess I just wanted to encourage you that if things just aren't great for you right now, I get it. And I can tell you with conviction that He is worthy of the blessings and the honor and the glory. Because our hope isn't in this life. Our ultimate hope is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and His word tells us.